in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to three words that you will find in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and the first three words. Then said Jesus. Then said Jesus. Those whose eyes have been opened, called by a divine grace, bless and praise Almighty God for the precious gift of the Word of God. The Word of God that sets forth the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to have in her possession a Bible. I believe if ever it came to such a situation that I only permitted to keep one thing, it would be my Bible. The gift is so precious. Alas, and speaking of myself, I do not value it as fully as I ought. And I must ask you, is the Bible that you have, even the young ones, is it a closed book unless you are in chapel? I do lovingly, and I hope it may not be necessary to even name it, but I lovingly recommend a reading portion every day. Do not attempt to hurry through a whole chapter. Pray, Lord, speak to me. And take a few verses and ask God to bless it to you. So we give thanks to God for the gift of his word. And in some parts of the earth, there's such a hunger for the word that they're prepared to receive, as I understand, the most dilapidated Bibles, if they have part of the word of God. Oh, may God help us to value this precious gift and to seek to pray that God will continue to send forth his word among the nations of the earth. Now the next question is this, or the next thought, we come then to the text, is this. What has the Bible done for us? Has it changed our lives? Do we really love Jesus? Am I the sinner? Yes, you are the sinner. But all men are sinners. All women are sinners. All boys and girls are sinners. How few there are that pray to Jesus. How few there are that come to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. You may now question, perhaps in your mind, why I should just center on these three words. The Lord has laid it on my mind in this way, perhaps rather as a meditation, if I may put it that way, instead of a sermon. I don't know how to describe it. But may a meditation of him base way tonight. And my mind has been led to try and speak just a little of the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. May the Lord help us. Do you go to Calvary? You say, but I've never been to Israel. No, I don't mean that. Do you think about Calvary? I say this to the young and the older ones. Do you pray? Are your thoughts often about the finished work of Jesus? This Jesus that died on the cross. The prophet weepingly says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is this nothing? Or is it, oh wonders of God's grace, all to us more than anything else? Now, we'll just look at these three words briefly first, and then we'll come to the seven sayings. I'll give you, start with the third word, because that's the most important, Jesus. What does the name mean? Again, I speak simply. It means, he shall save his people from their sins. Does that sound very sweet to your ear? Does that give you hope? Lord, I'm the sinner. My sins are great. Do save me. Some of us can say, praise God, he has saved me. Others may be sick, but pray on, pray on. Jesus. Now, who is this Jesus? We've got to be very clear about that. Jesus is God. Never lose sight of that. Equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Ghost. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the Lord Jesus. So why did Jesus come from heaven? I'm speaking simply tonight. We have young people here, and older ones too. Why did Jesus come from heaven? My dear friend, there was no other way of salvation. The great and holy, omnipotent, all-powerful God, who spake and it was done, he commanded it, stood fast. The creation was brought into being by the word of his mouth. I say it with deep reverence. Sin couldn't be pardoned without payment. The word of God, the law of God, the word of God, the holy God of heaven says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, there can be no pardon. That blood was to be sinless, pure, holy. No man, woman, child on earth could provide that blood, for we've all sinned. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Well, then you may say, what about all those beasts that were slain in the Old Testament? They couldn't wash away sin. They gave ceremonial acceptance before God, but they could never wash away sin. And if you want a proof of it, I'll give it to you. Those that was, like the Israelites, were saved on the night of the Passover, when the blood of the lamb without blemish was sprinkled on the doorpost and lintel of the door. That was ceremonial. That was the mark that they wouldn't be killed, the firstborn wouldn't be killed when the angel went up and saw the blood. But it wasn't salvation. That blood didn't wash away their sins. No. Why? Because we read in the wilderness, even two sons of Aaron, that they offered strange fire from God, and God sent fire down from heaven and slew them. We read of some of them that rebelled against God, and the earth opened up and swallowed them. We read, oh yes, you said, yes, you know about the brazen serpent, but don't forget, much people of Israel died. They didn't all live. So there's the proof. So that couldn't save. We could look at anyone, everyone. Some people would say, the world would say, well, look at my good works. Surely that would, look, I go to chapel, I go to church. That's good and right and so good works, but they can't say that. If, and I'd like to say this again simply, and I do want to keep on a reverent note, but just to put a word of explanation, I have been driving for say 50 years without any offence whatsoever, and then one day he goes through a traffic light red and so forth, and the police apprehend him. Now, do you think if the man says, look, I've been 50 years, I haven't made any mistake at all, then surely this doesn't matter? But it does. If justice is going to do it, his license will be marked, won't he? Now just think of what your sins and my sins deserve. I tell you what it does. It deserves hell, doesn't it? It deserves the wrath of God, because God is holy. God must and will deal with all sin. Either we shall hear those awful, solemn words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, or come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you. Either that our sin is, we can remember that not the least spot or blot can ever enter into heaven. If the people, God's people, that great number before the throne will be spotless, if before the eyes of the Almighty as a flame of fire. And remember, be sure, your sin will find you out. But the blood, and it's only the blood of Christ, is this dear Jesus. Remember then, the Son of God, but as I must name with you, as he comes to this earth, he comes as a babe. There is that body prepared for him without sin, without flaw whatsoever. I can't quite get the word I want. It may come in a moment. My mind is not so active as it used to be. But without any mark of defilement whatsoever, pure and holy, not born by human generation. But here you see the wonderful thing: God, man. God, as he hung on that cross. Man, as he hung on that cross. God, mighty to save, as he hung on the cross. The blood of the man, precious blood, that blood that cleanses away all sin. This is the Savior, this is the Jesus. Now, come to this middle word, then said Jesus. Now, what do the sayings of Jesus mean to you? Do they draw you to him? Do you love to hear, for example, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Do you love that word, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast down? Do you love that word, as you read the word of God to Gesh, this man receiveth sinners and easeth with them? Do you love that word when the Lord says, and the gospel, a bruised reed he will not break, and the smoking flax he will not quench? Oh, don't you love this, dear Lord Jesus? Oh, my friend, how precious it is. And when we're not beyond it in old age to think back to those precious words of Jesus, suffer the little children to come unto thee. Wonderful words. But I want to come to this word, then. What a then it is. They had crucified him. Those kind hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, the religious leaders despised him, spat in his face, buffeted him, set him at naught. Pilate, indeed confess, I find no fault in him. His wife said, they have nothing to do with this just man. The Jews said, away with him. And Pilate said, who will you have, Barabbas or Christ? I'll let's set one free. Barabbas, crucify him is the frenzied cry of the people. They hate him. They scorn him. And even on the cross, as he's hanging there in the sufferings on the cross, they say he saved others, himself he cannot save. They derided him, scorned him, and the Roman soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, and they were long crowns of bronze thorns, and pressed it on his dear head, a whole band of soldiers, remember that. Did Jesus call for fire from heaven? We come now to this verse saying, Father, his holy Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Be ye kind, one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, many today, without the knowledge of salvation, may have a knowledge of the sufferings of Christ, and they do, and say, what a wonderful example. It was a wonderful example, but it doesn't mean a thing to them. Why? Because they don't know their lost state. They don't seek forgiveness. They might pray, Lord, help me, or might desire that I might forgive others. But you see, they want forgiveness themselves, don't they? And we all do. I may have told you this before, but it might be a simple illustration with the children and the young people. And that is this, that there was years ago a husband and wife that looked after a French soldier. It was in France. He was wounded, and they were very kind to him, and he died. But he said before he died that there was only one thing could leave them. He hadn't anything very, not anything except for this one thing. And they looked at it. It looked like a piece of paper, rather beautifully done. And then, well, we make it, put it in a frame. That remind us of our friend that died. Did that? Well, what happened was sometime after, some people came in and said, what's that? They didn't know that it was a banknote, an illustrated banknote of considerable worth. They saw it as a beautiful thing, they didn't know the value of it. Just what people do today. They don't know the value because they don't know themselves as sinners. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But then, how the Lord in his word tells us again and again, if you're praying, go make things right and forgive those that have been unkind to you. You know, that's very difficult, isn't it? What do you want to do? I'll tell you what you want to do naturally. Get your own back. Get your own revenge. Leave that. Leave that to God. Pray that you might be like Jesus. Forgive them. Oh, my friend, what grace we need. Our natural being is, I'll get my own back. I may have told you before, the two boys are different families, but great friends, and they had a dreadful quarrel. And mother was putting her boy to bed, and he said, oh, wait, oh, he said, oh, he's so angry. And mother said, you can't go to sleep like that, you must forgive him. Oh, he said, yes, I'll forgive him. And under his breath said, wait till tomorrow, I'll get my own back. Do I shock you? That can be in a church, in a chapel. People say they forgive, they don't mean it. I'm not aiming at anybody, I don't know, but can't speak of anybody, I'm not doing that at all. But I know my wicked heart. It needs the love of Christ to fill my heart. They may be willing to forgive, to be like Jesus. Then, said Jesus. Now, as you will remember, there were two other crucified with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. They were two very wicked men, both of them. And in one of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew or Mark, they both reviled him. Jesus is in the midst. It wasn't it was a custom, as I understand, in those days among the Jews, never to crucify more than one, unless it was a husband and wife. But here, they took two and then put Jesus in the middle as though, world, look at that. He's the worst of all. Despised, hated, scorned. The one that went about doing good. Never man spake like this man. Set at naught. Man of sorrow. Ah. But oh, my dear friend, at Calvary, there's a revelation of the wondrous grace of God, of the power of salvation. There's a change, Lord. One of them is brought suddenly to see himself as a lost sinner, ruined and undone. As we read here, dost thou not fear God, as he spoke to the other, saying, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, that we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. He knew what a black man he'd been, what a sinful life he'd been. But oh, something else. Doubtless, as they crucified the Lord, he'd heard those words, Father, forgive them. And perhaps, I don't want to surmise here, but we are clearly shown the work of the Holy Spirit. It may have been there, raised up in his heart, we forgive thee. But this we know, here was a true conviction of sin. Here was a sorrow for sin. Here was one coming to Jesus. Here was one looking to Jesus. Here was one hoping in Jesus. Here is the evidence of faith in Jesus Christ. I say, wonderful faith. You say, how do you know? I'll tell you this. Because of the prayer. He said, Jesus, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man, that dying thief, his face saw this, that the one despised by all around, except of course of the dear women and John, those of his own dear people, but despised by the world, that one is the king, that one is a throne in heaven, that one is going to heaven, and that one can save even me. And so, beloved friend, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, could it be that I may come too? Could there be room for me? Could the door of mercy, we might say, be open for me? Within an hour or two of dying, an hour or two, as it were, at the brink of hell, I deserve it. I've no good works to bring. I only come with all my sinful life just as I am. Without one plea, and we might put it in these words, in the hope thy blood was shed for me. Sweet when you can say that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And so here, what did the Lord Jesus say? Did he say, no? Did he shut him out? Did he say, look what you've done, look at the life you've lived? No. He says, today, verily, I say to you, that's a word, a sealed word of the blood of Christ. Verily, I say unto thee, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise, with Jesus. Thou shalt see my glory, sir, when the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shalt be, save poor sinner, love self. Friend, what a wonderful word that is. Sweet hope, isn't it? Sweet, blessed prospect. The text again. Then said Jesus. Then said Jesus. Now, I'm not taking them in perhaps exactly the order, but the way I've read them, we also read, or perhaps we'll take them as I gather, the next one was not taken in the order that I've read, but taken them in the order that they were spoken. There was one standing at the cross, the beloved disciple. I suppose you children, young people, could tell me his name, couldn't you? It was John, wasn't it? And there was the mother of Jesus. And the Lord looked down, and maybe just turned to that I might name it, because it's so sacred and so solemn and so blessed, even these words, because there's instruction in it. We might say, well, I can't see how this affects me. Well, wait a minute, let's just see if there is something here. As the Lord Jesus spake from the cross, and he said, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Wasn't pointing to himself, pointing to John. Why? He said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. In the midst of those sufferings so great, the Lord made provision for the earthly mother, committed her the care of the disciple that he so that loved him, and he loved that one. You may say, well, what does that mean to me? There are times when we're in trouble, aren't they? Deep trouble. And you know, we need to pray against self-pity. None are so more tried as I am, and haven't time to think of anybody else or anything else. My dear friends, may we have, even in dark hours, compassion. And I'll tell you this, I see some far worse than you. In about the first 30 years of my pastorate, I had at least one, if not more, in the mental hospital at Warrington, outside Croydon. Go to that place. It soon shakes self-pity out of you. See, men and women, their mind derange. Go into a children's hospital, a crude hospital, and see these deformed children. Soon shakes out self-pity, friend. But when I say it's a good thing, shake that out, but also make moves. You may say, but I haven't got money, I haven't got ability, I can't nurse, I can't. Wait a minute. You can pray. Perhaps a kind word. Even a smile. Here's an example, isn't it? Then said Jesus, look how near to the next one. And it's the most solemn. What happened? For 3 hours, there was darkness over the face of the earth. The sun was hidden. It was not long ago. I had no vision, I don't mean that at all, but sacred meditation. There were those three crosses. Up to now, there'd been the howling of the mob. At the foot of the cross, there'd been soldiers gambling. That's what the world is doing today, isn't it? At the end of my road, there's a betting shop. And every time there's a football match, they bet on that. Bet on anything. I don't want to bring that into the pulpit, really, but my dear friend, and you young people, keep right off anything like that. But what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But what are coming to us there? You just think of that darkness. I suppose that must have been silence. Awesome. What's it mean? Difficult exactly to say. The literal sun, created sun, hid, as it were, not to look on what was being done on the earth. Darkness signifies the power of darkness. Darkness signifies sin. It speaks of hell. Darkness speaks of the wrath of God. And why the wrath of God? Yes, we might say, yes, I can understand that about those wicked people, what they did to Jesus. But wait a minute. It's what God the Father has done to his own dear son. Think of this. What did the Lord Jesus say at the end of those 3 hours? You remember? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What does it mean? Remember, Jesus is the Son of God. I know the God-man, but still the Son of God. That's as ever, never was that changed. Never will be. But why was God dealing with that? It is for this reason, that God the Father hath laid on him the sin of all his people. In other words, he's put all the sin, imputed is the word, laid upon the Son of his love, so that he's dealing with all the sin of all that shall be found in heaven in his own Son by the hidings of his face. Now, the withdrawals of that sense of his nearness. Remember that the Lord Jesus here on this earth, nights of communion with his Father. But now, it's a withdrawal. There was no severance of that tie in the deity, never. But he was made to be sin. And so he cried, my God, he didn't say my Father, though he still was his Father, my Father, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he will say to you, poor sinner, that loves him, and you'll love him because he first loved you. And I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so then we read, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, said, I thirst. A real man, you see. Perhaps sometimes you've been thirsty. How thankful you've been for water. Thirst. The intensity of all that he'd been through. That sacred humanity, bearing all that he went through that night, and the early hours of that morning, then crucified, scourged he was as well. Now thirst. I thirst. He thirsted to do his Father's will. Thirsted in the love of his soul to save sinners. And then again I see this. If you are brought to seek the Saviour, you say, I thirst. What do you thirst after? Christ. People thirst for pleasure, thirst for riches, think thirst for all things. No, I'm not despising right progress made by young people. Diligently, that is right. But my friend, don't let that be your God. May you thirst for Christ. When the poor and needy seek water and there's none, and their tongue faileth of thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I'll open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And my friend, it's a wonderful, the thirsty soul. And you remember this. The word of the prophet says, oh, everyone that thirsts, is without money, come to this dear Jesus. Then said Jesus. Now, just prior to that, or rather enlightening with it, you read these words. Not that he said them, but we come to the words, it is finished, but we're bounded up together. These words are Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, then said, it is finished. One word really, finished. The great work of salvation was now accomplished. Justice is satisfied. God, the holy God of heaven, is just to forgive his people their sin. He's the just God and justifier of them that believe in Jesus. It's wonderful. But what I saw there some time ago was this, knowing that all things were now accomplished. We know that the dear Son, as God, knows all things to the end of time. And what I saw was this, that he saw in that each one of his dear children, that is, have done. Yes, in the sight of God, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God is holy, and God is holy. And I say justice that would bar the way for the smallest speck of sin is now opening the gates. In you come, as we might say. I say that with deep reverence. Because you're washed away, you're going to be presented. You're presented faultless, not a spot. Oh, my friend, how wonderful it is. Not a spot in thee, says the one in the Song of Solomon. Not the least bit. Thou art all fair, my love. Not a spot. And you might say, ah, but I feel there'll be some spot, something that will be left. No, no, no. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. It is finished. And every promise in the Word of God fulfilled, every type and shadow was fulfilled, all those offerings of old, the brazen serpent, the lamb that was slain for the Passover night, and so forth, everything is fulfilled. It is finished. It's done, my friend. It's done. And the gate of heaven is open. And so we read that great work was done. And then the dear Saviour laid down his life. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, what a place to come into when we come to die. And it will be for all God's dear children. The sting of death has been removed. Why? What is the sting of death? Unpardoned sin. What is the strength of that unpardoned sin? The law. The law that thunders. You die, virtuous in your sin. But if that sin is washed away, then that sting is removed. So death, I don't know whether I haven't seen many wasps, hardly any wasps this year, but perhaps you have. But what makes us afraid of a wasp? Not so much as it buzzes, but because it's got a sting. If you knew the wasp hadn't got any sting, you wouldn't be so worried about it, would you? Well, for God's dear children, the sting is removed. And so, death is falling asleep. Falling asleep in the arms of Jesus. Wonderful. And knowing this, that death will never sever us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the wonderful prospect. And now, I come to the end now of my little discourse tonight. The prospect is heaven. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so, my friends, we shall sum it up in this way. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Worthy of the Lamb that died, they cried, to be exalted thus. Worthy of the Lamb, our lips reply, for he was slain for us. And then, as you view this, you'll be able by grace to say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my
Sweet moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spent, life and health and peace and blessing from the sinners I am crowned. May I sit well viewing mercy streams and streams of fire, precious drops my soul reduces, flame and flame and peace. God, 158.
Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.